taking notes, the title of this sermon is This One Thing. This One Thing. And we'll see that Paul and these other fellows that we're going to look at that kind of said this statement. They had the, my dad's philosophy. On Saturday, you know, I wanted to go fishing, or I wanted to go ride my motorcycle, or I wanted to go over to a friend's house, but we had to do this one thing first. All right, and it may have been, let's mow the grass. All right, but it usually didn't stop with this one thing. I was thinking, okay, as soon as we're done with this grass, I'm going to go motorcycle, or I'm going to go friends, or I'm going to do this. But then it would turn into, well, let's trim the bushes. Well, let's weed the flower beds. Well, let's clean out the garage. And he started that morning with this one thing we got to do before we can do any of that other stuff. All right, and maybe you had a dad like that. But he would always say, you know, we're going to get up early, and we just got this one mobile home to move today, and it's going to be slick. You know, great place to take it out of, great place to put it into. We'll be back home before lunchtime. Da da da. It was always this one thing. That's all we got to do. This is one thing, and it turned into, you know, a bulldozer had to be called. We had to cut these trees down. We had to build this bridge across this, you know, low place. Things like that. It always turned into more than just one thing. And it must just be a man thing, because Paul is going to say this to the church at Philippi. Well, this one thing, and then he gives them a list. And so anyway, it must just be a man thing. But we're going to look at that in verse 10 of chapter 3. It says here, that I may know him. And this is what Paul is basically getting. He wasn't talking about the one thing, because we're going to see he talks way more about other things instead of just one thing. But here was the one thing. He's going to do all this that he's going to give us a list of. Why? So that he may know him. And that should be the desire of all Christians, that we should know God through salvation. We should know God through our devotional life. We should know God through our serving life. We ought to do what we do to know God. I hope that's why we're all here at church today, so that we can know God better. Because we're going to hear from His Word, we're going to hear from His Holy Spirit, and then we should leave knowing God better than when we came. But that's what Paul, he was starting it out like a lot of men do, like my dad did when I was growing up. Well, just this one thing. Let me just tell you this one thing. I had coaches like that. I had a dad like that. I've had bosses like that, and so forth. This one thing. So he says here in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. And this is how he's wanting to know him better. He just keeps following after. If that I may apprehend, or hindered, that which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. And then it says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing. And he says it right there, but this one thing. And then you go after that, and there's more than one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind. And, no, there shouldn't be an and, Paul. You said this one thing. And he said, forgetting those which things that are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are above. And you could put an and right here. And I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So we see here that Paul said, this one thing I do, and he gave them a list. And so, again, it must be a man thing. So let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to see several other men in the Bible that said this after we preach about this one for a little while. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to have this mindset. Paul did say this one thing, and then he listed several. But his key was that he may know you and the power of your resurrection. That was the key. That's what he wanted. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, when we leave here today, know you better and know your power better. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we see Paul wanted to know Christ better. That was his key. In verse 10 it says here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So what Paul was saying was that Jesus died, he was buried, and 3 days later the power of God rose him back up. And the power of God that can do that can help me with anything that I go through. And so that's what he's saying. If I have a mean boss, the power of God can help me with that. If I have, and dare I say it because she's sitting in here, a mean mother-in-law, the power of God can help me. I don't have a mean mother-in-law. I have a nice mother-in-law. But anyway, anything that I have, anything that I'm going to face, the power of God will help me through it. I have rigid parents, and they're strict, they're militant, da 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 da. The power of God can help you with that. The power of God can help you with that. That's what Paul was saying. And then he goes on here, kind of like our needs list. We say all I need is, and our list grows, right? Like your kid's Christmas gift list or birthday present list. All I want for my birthday is, and so you're expecting one thing, right? And it's like, I thought all you wanted was, well, this is all I want right here, and so forth. And so Paul was kind of like that, verses 13 through 14. But this one thing I do, first thing he said, forgetting those things which were behind. And of course we know, kind of like the Sunday school lesson that we had this morning with Rahab. She had a pretty rough lifestyle, but she got saved and God used her all the way to putting her in the genealogy of Christ. So she had a past to forget. Paul, of course, if you read about him, he persecuted Christians. He persecuted churches. He fought against the things of God. So he had to forget that. Why? Because the devil's always going to bring it back up. Anything we do and we shouldn't do, the devil's going to remind us. But God does forget it. So Paul was trying to forget it. Then the second thing he said here was reaching forth to those things that are before. I want to forget what I used to do, and I want to be all about what I'm doing now. And that's what a Christian is supposed to do. If we used to curse, or we used to party, or we used to this, we used to do our own thing, we used to want, I don't care about God, all I want is me happy. If we get saved and we get that fixed, we ought to forget that. We ought to say, okay, now I am saved, so I want to know God. I want to please God. I want to be a blessing to God. I want Him to bless me. Why? Because one day I'll stand before Him and give an account. So that's why he was reaching. He was forgetting this one thing. He was reaching in this one thing. And then it goes on to say, pressing toward the mark. And he was saying here, I haven't attained yet. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to be perfect. Why? Because he knew the Bible said, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. We're supposed to be reaching that. The goal is, I guess, and we've used this, I used it yesterday when I was talking to Seth. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I told Seth, I said, if you and I were to get to heaven on our own, the only way we could do that was be as perfect as God. And that way we wouldn't have fallen short. So we could look God in the eye and say, God, you've got to let me in here because I'm just as good as you are. Hey, nobody can say that. Why? Because we've all fallen short. And just like I used in Sunday school, and the Bible says that lying is an abomination. Okay, so a little white lie is an abomination. Obviously, committing adultery, like she did, was an abomination. So in God's eyes, the little white liar and the harlot that we talked about in Sunday school, both are sinners. Okay, so we've all come short of the glory of God. And so Paul's like, look, my goal is, I'm pressing toward that mark to be a good Christian, to be what God wants me to be. I hadn't attained it yet, but I'm still pushing. So we're going to look at these real quick. And I want you to write these verses down if you take notes. So forgetting. Okay, I'm going to show you in the Bible where God promises in four verses that He does forget our sins. I don't know if you've ever heard that song before, but there's a song called, What Sins Are You Talking About? So in other words, when we go to God, if we go to God and confess our sins, I had a bad attitude yesterday, or I did a lie yesterday, or I did this, forgive me for that. And the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive you for that and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness just like you never did it. So if we go back the second day and say, God, yesterday I was asking you to forgive me for that bad attitude, or I was asking you to forgive me for that where I said this, and God's going to be like, what sins are you talking about? Because if it's under the blood, it's under the blood. And that's what Paul had to learn. He said, God forgot, I'm trying to forget. Revelation 1:5, listen to it. Revelation 1:5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and here it is, and washed us from our sins in his blood. Okay, so just like we kind of used that in Sunday school, there was a scarlet thread. I wonder why God picked that color. All right, why? Because our sins are scarlet. Our sins are dirty. Our sins are unrighteous. But when Jesus' blood is applied, it's like it's never been there. Jesus' blood is better than shout. I don't know if any of you ladies use shout. Your husband comes in, I got something on my favorite shirt, and you shout it out. All right? Jesus' blood is better than that. The new one out there, I think it's called OxyClean. Boom, the guy says. You know, he's got, looks like, you know, 007 and things like that. That's Jesus' blood is better than OxyClean. Spray and wash. I guess that's the cheap stuff. You know, and wash it. It didn't have all the commercials. But Jesus' blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So the reason that Paul says, I can forget my sins is because they're under the blood. Here's another verse, Psalm 103:12. Psalm 103:12. You've probably heard this one. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Again, those of you, maybe you weren't very good at geography, but if you go east and you keep going east and you keep going east, you will never get west. You're always going to be going east. And if you turn around and start going west, you're never going to get east. You're just going to keep going west. That's just the way it is. And so God says in His Word, hey, when you put your sins under my blood, it's as far as the east is from the west. You'll never be able to locate them. You'll never be able to find them again. You will not be condemned. If they're under the blood, you are sinless. Micah 7:19. This is not as familiar. Maybe the phrase is, but Micah 7:19 says this. He will turn again and will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. In the depths of the sea. Again, I jumped out of a tree. Don't do this at home type thing. I jumped out of a tree in a river not too long ago down in Florida. And of course, when you jump out of a tree, I'm guessing probably 25, 30 feet high. You usually, when you weigh as much as I do, you usually go pretty deep. Okay? And I got water behind the eardrums. It was like, I had the headache, all that stuff. Wow, because of the deep of the sea, or the deep of the river, that pressure's down there. You know, some people you go too low, it'll bust your eardrums. So God doesn't want people going down there. There's people that have, I guess, dove down there and had machines and things like that, but God didn't intend us to go down there. Plus, there's sharks, stingrays, all that kind of stuff down there. But anyway, that's where God put our sins, in the depth of the sea. The last one, Isaiah 38:17. Says here that, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. So when God takes our sins, He wants you to forget about them because He's forgot about them. He put them under His blood so they're as white as snow. He put them as far as the east is from the west. You'll never find them. He put them in the depths of the sea, as deep as you can find, or you can't find them. And then it says here, He put them behind His back. Now, that's a place, maybe you participated in this in school. You know, that's where you always put kick me signs, right? You put a little sticker on somebody's back that says kick me. They can't see it. You know, they're looking like, what? Oh, what? Oh, all right. They're just getting kicked. Why? Because the sign says kick me. Why? Because you can't see it back there. You're not an owl. All right. That freaked me out the first time I saw that. In a tree stand, right before a dark owl comes in. Ah! Freak me out. Weird. It's not designed to do that. God puts our sins where He can't see them. And so, praise the Lord. Paul needed to learn these things, and that's what he said. I want to forget my sins. Then we see here reaching. He was reaching for, he had new goals in his life. He had new things that he looked at. He had a new testimony. Paul used to have the testimony that persecuted Christians, you know, could care less about God, hurt people. That was his testimony. That was what he was known of. But now he's got a new testimony, the preacher of the gospel. He's turned over, he's heading in a new, different direction. There's something different about Paul. And that's what he was saying. So he was reaching, then he was pressing, setting his face like a flint, the Bible says, being determined to reach his goal. Making these statements like, but as for me. So that's what Paul did when he said, this one thing I do. And now let's go to Psalm 27. I want you to see these verses. So we'll look at Psalm 27. This is the second person that said something about one thing. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 verse 4. Psalm 27 verse 4. Another familiar Bible character. David said this one thing. And it says right here in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire His temple." So Paul said, this one thing I do. I want to forget those things. And then he goes down the list. I want to press toward the mark. I want to reach the goal. And David was the same way. We're going to look at it here in just a second. So like Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. David had that same kind of mentality. I want to go. This one thing I desire. And he goes on to say, I want to go to church. I want to behold the beauty. I want to inquire of the Lord. I want to. This one thing I do. He said, I want to go to church, and I want to pray, and I want to talk, and I want to hear from God. So he had a list just like Paul. But both of them wanted that fellowship. So the one thing they wanted was a closeness to God. And he needed to forget. He needed to press. And he needed to reach. And so David said the same thing. He said, you know, the fellowship's good. I like to go to church for the fellowship. The preaching and the teaching is good. I like to go to church for the preaching and the teaching. I like to go to church. The ability to serve is at the church. I like that too. But our main thing, the one thing that we ought to go to church for, is so when we leave, we know God better. Don't come in and leave the same way. Leave better. That's what David said. And he goes on to say, you don't have to turn here, but Psalm 26:8 says here, Lord, I have loved Thee. I have loved the habitation of Thy house and the place where Thine honor dwelleth. And so David was all about going to church. Paul obviously was all about doing something for God and pleasing God. David said, I want to go to church. And he said, just being there at your church where I see you honored and you dwell there, that makes it for me. David didn't say, I go to church for, in our day and time, some churches, people go to church to hear the rock band play. Right? Because it sounds just like what they heard Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, so they feel at home. And that's some churches' philosophies out there. Let's make everybody feel at home. Right? God's nowhere close to that. All right? It says here, I want to go to church where God dwells. Now, I'm not saying you have to go to church and sit there, do an Indian style, you know, sitting and that kind of stuff. You can sing. The Bible tells us to sing hymns and spiritual songs unto the Lord. But it says here that David says, hey, I want to go to your house. Why? Because Thy honor dwells there. It's not about the feeling that I get. It's not about what I get to do while I'm there. But it's just knowing that Your presence is there. Psalm 64:1, he talks about this. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust the covert of Thy wings. So David talks several places here. This one thing I do. This one thing I desire. I want to go to Your house. But while I'm there, I want to feel Your presence. While I'm there, I want to feel that. I want to trust that covert of Thy wings. My wife sings that song, Under His Wings. I love to hear her sing that. Maybe she'll sing that sometime. And that leaning on His everlasting arm was good too. But anyway, under His wings. And of course, if you know anything about chickens, that's what a mama chicken will do. If her babies are in danger, she'll put those wings out. She'll start making this ungodly clucking sound. You know, and they all know. Mama said, get over here. All right? And they all run under her wings. My sister had a dog and I had chickens. And my sister's dog loved to eat my chickens. All right. Now, my chickens weren't the kind, you know, like Kentucky Fried sales that you eat. My chickens, they did lay eggs, but they weren't very big. But my chickens were game chickens, okay, before church for me. All right. And they like to fight, okay. That's what kind of chickens I had. And so I had this one. I mean, he didn't care if you were human, another chicken, a dog, a cat, a squirrel, whatever. He was going to flog the mess out of you. All right, so my sister's dog ate one of my baby chickens, and the mom was over there burr, 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 doing all that stuff, and the chickens ran out of there. But I put that rascal outside. He got a hold of that dog's ear, held on to her ear, and she was going across the yard. He's like, she never went on that side of the house again. It fixed her. Why? Because there was safety. The mama chicken puts her wings out, and that's what God's saying. If you'll go to His house, and David says, I want to go there forever. It saddens me. You see people starting in like a Miss Kim Sunday school class, little bitty. And they come and they come and they come. And then they go to Brother Derek's class and they keep coming, they keep coming. And then all of a sudden they start disappearing. David said, I don't want to ever disappear from the house of God. This one thing I desire, I'm going to church. And so there's some people in here, we won't raise the hands who's the oldest, but there's some that's been going to church for a long time in here. And I hope it never stops. That's what David said. I'm never stopping going to church. I don't care what's going on. And he said, Psalm 122:1 says this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So David didn't go any time in his life, when he was young, when he's a teenager, when he was old, he didn't ever say, I got to go to church. David was like, no, I get to go to church. Church is awesome. Church is about God. Church is singing to God. Church is about praying. Church is, yes, about fellowship. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. Yesterday, knocking on those doors, hey, we'd love to have you come visit. We might. I didn't have anybody said, I would be glad to. I'll be there tomorrow. That would be awesome to me. Hey, but that's the way David was. David said, I was glad when they said unto me. So this one thing I desire, I'm going to the house. He desired closeness. He desired communion. He desired fellowship. He desired this one thing I did. I got to go to church. So David, like my dad, and like Paul, said this one thing, and he turned it into more. He was like, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will go there and love His beauty and know it better. I will go there and I will inquire of Him. How can I know You better? How can I be more like You? What do I need to change about me? Lord, please speak to me today. Speak to my family today. Put Your hand of blessing on us. That's why David said, this one thing I desire, I'm going to church and get this, 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 this. So he had a list too. Let's go to Joshua 23. Joshua 23. Paul said, this one thing I do. And he pressed and reached and forgot. David said, there's one thing I desire. I want to know God better. I want to inquire upon Him. I'm going to be glad about it. And so all these fellows, this one thing I do, and gave us a list. Joshua was the same way. Joshua said in chapter 23, verse 14. Verse 14 says this, and behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And ye know all in all your hearts and in all your souls, and not one thing hath failed of all good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto, and not one thing hath failed. And so we're going to see here in the previous verses that Joshua said, not one thing has God failed in, and he gave them a list. So Paul says, this is one thing I do, and gave them a list. David says, this one thing I desire, and gave them a list. Joshua is saying, said, not one thing has failed. And let's look at verse 3. He starts way back over in verse 3 and explaining to them that God, He's never going to fail. In verse 3 it says, there we go. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He that hath fought for you. So the first thing he says, God has never failed in fighting for you. Of course, the first person that Satan had to fight, or God had to fight for the souls of men, is Satan. Of course, when he got kicked out of heaven, and he went down, and of course, there was different temptations and things like that. He caused Adam and Eve to sin and so forth. But we see that God would not have failed them. God said, hey, there's many trees that you can eat of, but that one of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that. And if she would have let him, God would have fought for her and told Satan to get on out of there. So we see here that God didn't fail that day. Obviously, humanity failed that day. So God, His ways never failed. In verse 6 it says here, because you have seen, look what verse 6 says, be ye therefore very courageous, and keep, and to do all that is written in the book, for the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therein to the right hand nor to the left. Because you've seen God, you ought to be very, very courageous, because He can help you. He can fight for you. Verse 8 tells you, here's His list. This one thing, God has never failed to fight for you. God has never failed to help you do all that's written in the book. Verse 8 says here, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. So be close to God. So this one thing, God's never failed in you. You draw nigh to Him, He says He'll draw nigh to you. And you say he'll fight for you. He will be close to you. So you can claim all these things. So Paul said, "This one thing that I may know him better." David said, "Behold his beauty that I desire to know him better. I'm going to go to church." Joshua was cleaving unto the Lord in verse 8. Verse 11 says this: "Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." Of course, you could do a study on that verse. The Bible tells us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And so we ought not to love the world. And Joshua was telling them, love God more than you love the world. Let's look at verse 12. He said, "Else." So his list just keeps going. All right? This one thing, you ought to know. This one thing he never failed in. And then he gives them a list of things that he'd never failed in. And then it tells here, "Else, if you do any in any wise go back," in other words, if you backslide, "and cleave unto the remnant of the nations, and these remain among you, and you shall make marriages with them, and go unto them, and they unto you." So in other words, he said, look, God's never failed you. And if you backslide and go away from God, verse 13, "No, for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations before you." So what Joshua was saying is, take advantage of how awesome God is. Don't turn your back on him and backslide. Why? Because the Bible says here that God's not going to fight for you anymore. God's not going to be there for you to cleave unto him. God's not going to be there to be a blessing to you if you turn your back on him. So he's saying here, go the way of the Lord. And the way of the transgressor is hard. He said, if you're not there, God's not going to fight for you. You're going to have to fight for yourself. God's not going to be there for you to cleave to. You're going to have to cleave to yourself. God's not going to be there to help you through any situation. You're going to have to go through it yourself. And so again, why? That's what he's saying here. Why in the world would you want to turn your back on God? Why? Because he's not failed in one thing in our life. Verse 14 tells us that again. He has not failed in one thing ever. The last one we'll look at, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. So Paul said this one thing. David said, this one thing I desire. Joshua said he had not failed in one thing. And now Peter, 2 Peter 3, verse 1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both where I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and for the commandment of us unto the apostles and the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" And so just like there was people making fun of Noah back in Noah's day. "Where's the rain, Noah? What you building this big old boat for, Noah? What you doing all this stuff?" Obviously, they ate those words. Same thing here. Where is the promise of his coming? And people might say that to us. Oh, you say, people, you say Jesus is coming back. When? When's he coming? What's he going to do? In the darkness, and thou knowest whether he goeth, because the darkness he hath blinded his eyes. And it goes on to say, I'm sorry. There it is. I was reading 1 John. There we go. The fathers have fallen asleep. All things continue as they were at the beginning of creation. And this was they willing to be ignorant of that by the word of God that was heaven were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with the water perished. In other words, they went way back and they're starting to bring in, where's all this? What's all going on? And verse 8 says this, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing." So this is where Peter comes out and says, don't be ignorant of this one thing. And then he gives them a list that one day is with the Lord in 1,000 years and a 1,000 years is one day. And then he goes on to say, this one thing, be not ignorant of this one thing. Why? Because timing is, God doesn't have timing. Then he goes on to say, and he's not slack concerning his promise. If God said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Well, when? We don't know. But God's not slack concerning his promise. As men count slackness, but as long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that should come to the repentance. And so he said, I don't know when God's going to come back. But all I do know is the Bible teaches that 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years with God. And I also know that He's merciful, and He's just, it's not His will that any should perish. So that's why He hasn't come back yet. This one thing Peter said, and he went down through there. They made a fun of the Noah and the ark. They made fun of David that day. Oh, what you going to go do down there? Go down there and kill the giant? That's what he did. They made fun of him. You're ruddy. You're just a little pimple-faced kid. What you going to do? And God came through. They made fun of Noah. And again, they all drowned. Then we see that they made fun of Jesus. Oh, He saved others, but can he save Himself? They made fun. So be not ignorant of this one thing, is what Peter was saying, and then gave us a list. He's not ignorant of those things. He's not slack concerning His promise. And the last one we'll look at, let's go to Mark 10. Mark 10, and this is where Jesus said the statement, this one thing. So several people say it. Paul is probably the most famous of saying, this one thing I do. But David said, this one thing I desire. Joshua said, there's one thing that he's never failed in. Peter said, mark it down. This is one thing that Jesus is going to do. And Jesus said it Himself in Mark 10:17. Mark 10:17. Mark 10:17-21. And it says here, and when he was gone forth unto the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things I observe from my youth. So in other words, this kid had been raised right. He'd been raised on the Bible. And he said, Jesus, I've been doing that. I've done that since I was a little kid. And I'm going to keep doing it. And verse 21 says, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. He goes on and gives him a list. Go thy way. So you got to go. Sell whatsoever thou hast. Then after you sell it, give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and take up, and then here's another one, and then after that, come and take up thy cross and follow me. So Jesus said, this one thing I want you to do. Go your way, sell everything you got, give that to the poor, and then come back and follow me. So my dad was right in line with Jesus when he said, this one thing we're going to do. We're going to mow the grass, and then we're going to trim the bushes, and then we're going to take a load to the dump, and then we're going to clean out the attic, and then we're going to... Jesus said, hey, this one thing thou lackest, this is what I want you to do. Go sell your stuff. Give it to the poor. Then come back and follow me. And it says here that the young man went away sad in verse 22 because he had great possessions. Again, we can learn lots of things from here, from this truth. There's nothing that's more important than Jesus and me. Okay, I would sell anything I got. And I got some nice stuff. I got some toys. And the older you are, the more expensive your toys get, right? And so I have some toys that I like. But if I thought I needed to sell them to bring more honor and glory to Jesus, I'd do it. But this guy went away, and Jesus said, and I'm going to read you one other place that Jesus said in Luke 10, verses 38-42, it says this. Now it came to pass, as they went, and they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha cumbered about much with much serving, and it came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she come help me. So there's a lot of cooking going on in here. There's a lot of cleaning going on here. Tell Mary to come in here. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And so we see Jesus said twice this one thing. And he wanted Mary to serve him and so forth. So we see here that Jesus was right in line with these guys. Now the last verse that I'll give you is in John 9:25. And you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. John 9:25. It says here, one thing I know. And again, if we all said that, well, this one thing I know, I hope I know more than one thing. But what I believe they are is putting the emphasis on that one thing. I know, 2 + 2 = 4. I know how to spell this word or that word. I know, stuff that I learned in school. I know that. I know that my wife loves me. I know that God blesses me. But John in 9:25 says this, one thing I know, that I was blind, but now I see. Because this guy, obviously, he had heard all the arguments. Why in the world did Jesus heal on the Sabbath day? Or why in the world was this guy... And again, I'm putting all these verses together. There was a blind man in the Bible, and we said, one said, was it because of his parents' sin or because of his sins? And the Bible goes on to say it was neither. It was so God could get the glory, and things like that. So there's a lot of things out there. I remember having relatives go to different denominations, different beliefs on how to get to heaven. I had an uncle that went into Mormonism, and I had some other people that had different things and different teachings. But that's what this man said in John. Look, I've heard all the different teachings. I've heard all the different opinions. I've heard all of what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But this one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. So in other words, he was giving all the credit to God. Just like Paul's like, I used to kill Christians. I battled for a long time from my past. But this one thing I do, and I gave you a list. Why? So I could know the power of his resurrection. And David's like, I've killed my tens of thousands. I've killed a lion and a bear. I've killed Goliath. And I became the king, and I do this, and I do that. And I've made some mistakes. But this one thing I do, I desire to go to church. Why? Because if I did something great and I went to church, it would help me be humble about it, that God just blessed me. If I went to church the next day after I sinned with Bathsheba and sat there and felt guilty as the day is long, but God just come up, put his arm around me, said, it's okay. It's under the blood. And he said, and the Bible talks about him laying in his bed of tears and asking God, I want that relationship back that I used to have. He found it at church. And so that's why when David says, this one thing I know, and he gives you the whole list about church is awesome. Church is bringing glory to God. Church is singing unto God. Church is the presence of God. Church is where you find instruction. And he's like, this one thing. And Peter, all these fellas, they're just so excited. And so they want you to know how awesome God is. And that guy in John is like, look, I could give you a list. I could tell you my opinions. I can tell you how other people's opinions are wrong. I'm not going to do that. All I can say is this one thing. I was blind, but now I see. So obviously, the closer we get to God, we ought to understand the church thing. The closer we get to God, we ought to understand the serving Him thing. The closer we get to God, the more we ought to know His power. But again, just put all that aside. Because if I was telling you one thing that would get you to heaven, and then somebody on this side of the room was telling you one thing to get you to heaven, it causes confusion. We know who the author of confusion is. Just listen to this one thing. If you're blind and you're on your way to hell today, Jesus Christ can give you your sight back. That's all you got to know. Let all that other stuff come. Church, yes. Serving, yes. Forgetting the things behind, yes. But just right down here where the rubber meets the road, this guy in John said, look, forget about what the preacher has been saying for the last hour. This one thing, if you're blind and you're on your way to hell, accept Jesus Christ and He will help you see and you'll be on your way to heaven. Every head bowed or every eye closed. I was just going to preach on one thing, but it came out a lot of things. Let's all stand. Let's talk about one thing. One thing, are you saved? If you're not, come let me show you in the Bible. Just like I showed Seth yesterday, I'd love to show you. Then, make church important. Say, I desire church like David. I'm never going to stop going to church. Make that a promise to God this morning. Serve Him, just like Paul said. Yeah, you had a past, forget it. Put it under the blood. Serve Him till you see Him. This one thing, Brother Derek.
Oh, God. the Lord spoke to you. Obviously, I know He did to me when I was studying this, because I remember going through all those stages, forgetting my past stage like Paul did, falling in love with church like David did, serving like Peter did, and obviously Jesus said, "This one thing you do, or this one thing you lack." I lack a lot of stuff, and I want to have a good relationship with the Lord. So hopefully that spoke to your heart as well this morning. And we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock, and if you can come, we'd love to have you. And pray for each other. There are several that's not here this morning. I know there's a few under the weather, not feeling good, some migraines and some things like that. And so if you don't see somebody that you normally see, make sure you pray for them. And so let's see here. Brother Wade dismisses in prayer.